Welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
He's smart as hell and gentle and funny. Not always on purpose, but he's funny.
And Sherry, you're wise.
And you smell like books. You really are the whole package.
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Woo, buddy. Happy Thursday, gateway to the weekend. We do have our live virtual happy hour tonight if you want to pour something tasty and join us at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. And I've gotten a couple of DMs on my Twitter just in the past couple of days, people saying, I hear you talking about the happy hour thing. How do I do that? It's really simple. At 7 o'clock Eastern, jump on Facebook and go over to the Bob and Sherry page. And there we are. You don't need to subscribe to anything or sign up for anything. We will just be rolling starting at 7 o'clock Eastern tonight for our live virtual happy hour. And I think that Lamar is going to be showing the missus a little bit of romance by dragging her out to the driveway and doing happy hour in the camper. So stay tuned for that.
Dragging her out in the driveway is a harsh way to put it, I think.
Well, she's had some issues with her ankle, so it's literal.
Oh, yeah, literally.
Yeah, it's literal.
Exactly. I don't know if anybody's run across this. This guy's name is George Woodville, and he likes going barefoot. He quit wearing shoes a few years ago, and he just doesn't wear them. And when he goes into shops or restaurants, he has to get out a medical card. And I don't know what kind of medical card can say this guy can come into your restaurant and he don't have any shoes on. I don't understand that card, but he hadn't worn shoes since 2021. And he makes his living by selling pictures of his grubby feet on an OnlyFans page to make extra cash.
Who pays to see that? Like, what are we,
He said,
what are we doing? What are we doing here when we could be doing that? What are we doing?
Well, I hadn't seen your feet, so I don't know. I don't know if your feet are OnlyFans worthy. This guy said he changed this. It helped. He was struggling with his mental health, and he wanted to experience the entire world ground up. So he threw away all of his shoes. And his family sort of thought he'd went off the rails, and they sort of shunned him for a while. But he's managing to cash in on it by doing the OnlyFans page. He makes between $600 to $1,200 a month from his foot photos. Well, okay, now I see why the restaurant thing's not a problem. He can't afford to go out and eat if that's all he's making. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he goes in public places, trains, cafes, everywhere, and he met his girlfriend, and they said it was love at first sight. Even though her boyfriend's not wearing shoes, she didn't care. She doesn't mind that he's got an OnlyFans account. Her family, no surprise, they're very strongly against her joining him and making money on that platform, but she still happily lives barefoot herself. And his future plans, he's hoping one day to have his own Netflix documentary and travel around the world barefoot. I'm not watching that.
There'll be some people who watch it. This is the confusing thing to me. I just read the other day this article in the New York Times about how filthy our shoes are. And Mary read the same article and just said, you know, we've been taking off our shoes once in a while when we're out there hiking in the preserve, but we need to take them off right now. And as soon as we come in, put on your house shoes or go barefoot, but it's disgusting. So what happens when this guy goes to somebody's house and their rule is take your shoes off at the door? Now, he's been walking around. His feet are his shoes. His feet are getting on everything on city streets and grocery stores, drug stores. So he comes into the house of the person that says, shoes off. So what does he do then? Does he sit on his butt, put his feet in the air, and sort of hump his way along into the
dining
area?
Like a dog on the carpet.
Like a dog on the carpet. Is that what he does?
Well, I don't know what he does, but he's not doing it in my house, so I don't care. I'm sorry.
Can I just point out to you gentlemen that between Lamar's story and that story, Bob, y'all are not making men look good. Okay? Like, I'm over here going.
I admit that's true. But that, it's a legitimate question. If people are saying take, and this was in the Times that you should, and New York, the streets are filthy. So, I mean, I get why they put it in there. But, you know, it's a thing with a lot of people. What, do you not invite this guy because his feet are disgusting?
I don't know. I don't
invite him.
He ain't coming
just
to
like
my house.
I don't invite the other guy that's crab humping his way to the dinner table. Like, I just am tired. I don't have the patience for this anymore. No. Like, get out.
No.
Get out.
Well,
paying
short.
My bills? No, get out. Go somewhere else. Crab hump your way back to the front door, and you get out of my house with them dogs. There you go. Boom. Simple. It's just, y'all have not helped the case of men here at all. Yeah, coming up on today's show, comedian Emmy Blotnick. We've got Bob and Sherry's small plates. We've got the Bob and Sherry box office. We got you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
So it was my granddaughter, Elle's third birthday, just a few days ago. And Landon put together this amazing birthday party in their backyard. Mary couldn't go. She was helping a friend move into a house. She was heartbroken. But I went, and we found online an antique little race car that you sit on, and it has a little wheel, and you push it along, and that's what I gave her, and she loved it. It was in perfect condition. We got it online. Mary found it on, I think, a Facebook thing, and so there were the neighborhood they live in has a lot of people their age with children. And when I say a lot, there must have been at the birthday party 10 to 15 kids right around the age of 3 to 4 years old. And it was a Minnie Mouse theme. Landon made this blow up of Minnie and put these pink balloons, kind of a thing you walk through, you know, and that was really, really cool. And the cake was like a Minnie Mouse cake, and it was really, really sweet. I got to tell you, I haven't been around that many little kids in a while because I made a mistake from the beginning. I took Finn with me. Otherwise, I'd have to leave him at home alone for hours and hours. As I walked through the backyard to come to the party, all of a sudden, I saw two heads shoot up, and the heads were parents. And then I saw two little kids grab for their mother's legs. And I went, oh, I forgot. And immediately Landon caught on to what was going on and said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But one of the mothers did call and said, are there going to be any pets there? And Landon said, I think my father's bringing his dog. Oh, I don't think we can come then. Well, don't worry about it. We'll put him somewhere. It was not. I think if I had walked in with a goldfish in a bowl, I would have been off ground. When they said pets, nothing, cats, anything at all. And I haven't been in that situation with that many kids in a long, long time. So Finn is so in love with being with people. He is just excited as can be. And now I got to put him in this bedroom, mm-hmm. and he has to stay in there. And that broke my heart, but I understood that there are parents who have phobias about dogs, and there are kids that are not around dogs, and you have to take that into consideration. Yep. But it broke my heart to take him in there. I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw some roses my ex's way. She was there, and she went in and stayed with Finn for a little while. I thought it was a pass just to get away from all the noise, but I'll give her credit on it anyway. And the noise, oy vey. The noise was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but some children and Elle's age are so scared of dogs. And, and Finn is the sweetest little gentleman, and he would never, ever do anything aggressive, but he's big.
He's
and
big
so
dog,
imagine if you're a small little person and you're terrified of dogs, and some kids just are. They're like, they come into the world that way. And Finn is not only big, but he has a very dignified, serious face. And that I can see how that would be scary for a little one. Sure.
But I mean, most of the time, he looks like he's smiling and everything. But I understand. It's just, it's foreign to me because I haven't had little kids of that number. You know, we take the grandchildren, but we haven't had kids of that number in a long, long time. And my children and I grew up in houses where there was always a dog. I mean, always a dog. I was, 3 years old when I had a collie, you know, so always been in my life, never been afraid of dogs. So I learned something.
That's you. Yeah, that's you. I can remember when the girls were little. So we didn't have, I didn't have dogs when Olivia and Caramia were small. I just couldn't handle one more living thing that wouldn't sleep or be potty trained. But I can remember going to kids' birthday parties and there'd always be one or two kids there that would be in a blind terror at the sight of a dog coming toward them at the park. And who knows why, right? Who knows why that is? I mean, even kids who grow up with dogs can be phobic. Yeah.
There are adults like that. There was a guy, this guy was about 50 years old. He was out on a jogging trail I was walking on, and I had Finn off the leash, but right next to me. The guy stopped, and I mean, a really athletic guy, and said, "Put the dog on the leash. Not all of us like dogs." And I went, I should have had him on the leash, but he will stay right next to me in my defense. And then he ran by. So I get it. Not going to do that again. We had a wonderful party. And eventually they left and Finn was able to come out.
Well, that's good. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't be a moron.
With Morons in the News.
So the moron who did this is still on the loose, but I'm going to read the story anyway. A prankster put a for sale sign on a Florida sheriff's car. I got to tell you, have you never seen Smokey and the Bandit? Southern sheriffs don't like that sort of thing at all. Someone pranked the Charlotte County, Florida Sheriff's Office, and the department is having actually fun with it. A culprit put a for sale sign on the police car that was sitting by the side of the road. So the sheriff's department took to social media and posted about the beautiful car. The post said, kind of disappointed in the minimal interest in this beautiful vehicle. Despite its high mileage and idling hours, this baby has lots of life left and plenty of stories to tell. This car has been through it all and keeps going. Sure, the legroom in the back is minimal, and the rear seats aren't all that comfortable, but real friends sit up front anyway, don't they? The car is not actually for sale, but the police ended their post by saying, anyone with any information about some guy who might have done this, please contact us right away. We would like to take him for a ride. You have to give it to the cops on that one.
Deputies desperately tried 8 times to wake up Alyssa Langley and her fiancé, Timothy Stevens, both 27, as they lay in the sand on Daytona Beach. One of the deputies could be seen on body cam footage nudging Stevens as he had his arm wrapped around his girlfriend. Hey, this is the sheriff's office. Wake up, she yelled. Where are your kids? After the police were able to rouse a couple up, they seemed confused. And the deputy said, you don't know where they are? Fortunately, the children found safe but unsupervised were splashing in their hotel pool nearby. Their parents are on the beach, passed out. The sheriff said, it just boggles my mind that you would drive here, get obliterated, and allow a 5 and 7-year-old to wander off. Both Langley and Stevens are facing felony neglect charges, and Stevens is also facing charges for trying to escape and possessing alcoholic beverages on the beach. He was seen in body cam footage getting free from the deputies and running away before he quickly face planted in the sand and knocked himself out. I mean, where was he going?
That's right.
He is not the children's biological father, but has assumed a guardian role. What we wonder is why kids are the way they are. You gotta take a step back and look at who's in charge. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And clearly these two clowns shouldn't be in charge of anything. They can't be in charge of themselves, let alone a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. That's crazy. That is crazy. Think about them being at the pool. I mean, who's watching them? They're 5 and 7.
It's so terrible.
Dangerous. But the whole idea of running on Daytona Beach away from the police, do you not think that the Daytona police have not seen it all?
When you see his mugshot, his face, you can see where his face hit the sand, and it's just, oh, God. Yeah.
Oh. Stupid. All right. Well, today's moron of the day gives you another thing to worry about and talk to your kids about. A YouTube superstar in India. This guy has 15 million YouTube followers, okay?
Wow.
His name is Elvish Yadav. He's been arrested and jailed for allegedly taking snake venom, like from cobras, and selling it as a party drug. So it all went down when a party Elvish was at in November was raided. Police had a tip that they were using snake venom as a party drug. They launched an investigation and questioned five people on suspicion of snake smuggling, and all of them said it wasn't us, it was Elvish. He's the organizer of the parties. He is the snake venom supplier. So this guy, he was one of the big winners on the Indian version of Big Brother. Okay, so that I think is how he launched his YouTube career. When they went for him, they got nine snakes, including cobras, and 20 milliliters of snake venom. And I have no idea what impact snake venom has on you or why you would take it as a party. But in 2022, there was a paper in the Journal of Forensic and Legal Medicine that said, you know, snake venom is not a party drug and it can kill you. And we've had people hospitalized. Like I know reality. Listen, let me agree with you that reality is a beating. But cobra venom?
That's the worst party ever. I gotta say, that is the worst party. Yeah.
Friends, is there no Kendall Jackson at your grocery store? Like cobra venom?
I know.
That is morons in the news. Coming up, comedian Emmy Blotnick, a round of Bob and Sherry's small plates. And if you're angry, everything you've been doing to deal with your anger is probably wrong. And we have the answer. It's surprising. We got that all coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, live tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
There was an article in Men's Health that said trying to drink all the water that you're trying to drink in this era of peak hydration may actually be really bad for you. There are a lot of people that, like, if you go on TikTok and hit the hashtag water talk, you'll see like that there are tons of people that are drinking nothing but flavored water, like a gallon every single day. And a lot of like bro fitness TikToks and social media feeds are like, you cannot drink too much water. But according to this doctor who does emergency medicine in New York and who has treated a lot of people due to who drink too much water, he's like, actually you can. Optimum hydration is a brand new thing and everyone disagrees on how much water you should be drinking and when you should be drinking it. And we need to rewind that myth that you need 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day. You need water to live, but you do not need as much water as we're all drinking. And that's an interesting thing because we are in peak hydration time. Yeah. I mean, you see little kids toting around water bottles all day long. But now, here's what they say. The risks of mild dehydration are way overstated, but the risks of overhydration are completely unknown. And people end up in the hospital because they've pumped way too much water into their systems.
This is a great relief for me to know. Thank you, because I can now respond to my wife when she says, I can smell that you're dehydrated, which...
I know you're going to ask, well, how much water should I drink?
Yes.
Right? If it's not 64 ounces every day, how much water should I drink? According to this doctor, the message has to be, these are his exact words, the message has to be, drink only to thirst. You're thirsty, get you some water. You're not thirsty, don't force yourself to drink water.
Like
now, I know
dog.
A lot of people are going to argue. Yeah, a lot of people are going to argue with this, but
yeah,
there you go. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Sherwin-Williams.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Emmy Blotnick.
Wow. I'm so excited to be here. This is so exciting. I just turned 35, and thank you. Yes, I can feel a difference right away, you know? I used to get catcalled when I'd walk around New York, and now I get heckled. I get heckled, and this is New York City, so they are some of the best, most accurate hecklers in the world. I've been heckled so well. Here's what happened. Okay, I was coming out of the Whole Foods on Houston, 10 o'clock at night. I shut it down. I've got two heavy bags. Yeah, I'm in my head. I'm thinking about something weird I said 5 years ago. And the door's open. I step out, and a guy locks eyes with me and says, "I'm sick of you nervous-looking white hoes." And it brought me to my knees. It was like a dart to my neck. The speed, the precision. I'm like, how do you do that so fast? I didn't even have that term for myself before. But I am nothing if not a nervous-looking white hoe. And I'm sick of me, too. Honestly, I'm really proud to live in the same city as that guy. It's been a good year. I turned 35. I got married. My husband and I decided... Oh, thank you. We decided we're going to go to Japan for our honeymoon. And we were like, well, we got to take some Japanese lessons. So we took Zoom Japanese lessons. That is the hardest way to learn anything. It was way too ambitious. We took 4 hours of Zoom Japanese. I learned one sentence. I'll teach it to you, save you 4 hours. It's Watashi wa Emmy des. Yeah, it means my name is Emmy. Yeah, and you won't know when your name is being asked of you. So just assume everyone wants to know. Come in swinging big, you know? Just, my name is Emmy, woo! That's how I'm going. My husband learned one sentence in 4 hours of Zoom Japanese. I'll throw in that one as a bonus. It's kore wa kohi desu ka? And that means, is that coffee? When do you say that? Have you ever said that in your life? Coffee announces itself so much more than other beverages. It has a color and a taste. It has a smell. It has a temperature. There are a lot of clues when something is coffee. You never have to check in. Those are the two sentences we have. And I hope those are the only sentences we need. I hope when you get to Japan, you go through customs and border patrol, they'll be like, you can come here, but you have to answer two questions. And you go, what is your name? And I'll be like, I got this one. My name is Emmy. And then they'll wheel out a hot, unlabeled carafe. And they'll be like, this contains a beverage, and you get one guess. And my husband can drop his signature. Is that coffee? Yeah. I'll be like, that is correct. Honeymoon unlocked. Yeah, we didn't really learn words or phrases. We did learn some cultural lessons, though. I'll tell you about that. For example, Questlove, what is your name?
My name is Amir.
Amir, okay. Yeah. So if you go to Japan, they might call you Amir-san. They'll add a san on the end of your name. And it's a show of respect. It's like Mr. Amir. But my teacher said, you cannot call yourself Amir-san because in Japan, her words, you don't show yourself respect. And I was like, I love this country already. I love it so much and I can't wait to go. The teacher's exact words, she said, even if you are very smart and have lots of money and a beautiful face, in Japan, you don't say a nice thing about yourself. And I was like, what a perfect nation. I wish we were like that here. We're not like that at all. We would never teach people that. I bet right now there's a class of Japanese kids learning from some juiced up alpha bro named Chad, and he's telling them the exact opposite. He's telling them, even if you are dumb as hell and broke as hell and you got a face that looks like a lasagna, in America, you never stop telling people how great you are. Everywhere you go, you kick down the door. You go, my name is Amir San, bitch. And I'm having a fire festival tomorrow. That's it for me. I'm Emmy Blotnick. Thank you so much.
She's brilliant.
Lamar, I knew you'd enjoy that one.
She is brilliant.
Lamar's daughter and her husband live in Japan. So Lamar knows all about how to behave. We'll get her posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
So Lamar's daughter went to Japan, fell in love, got married, and now has these beautiful children. And it's so hard because she's so far away, but what an adventure. And Lamar, you've gotten over there a handful of times, right? Two or three times?
Yeah, I have. And what she was saying is, she's exactly right. These people, they are so polite. I mean, everything is polite. And they're always being really soft and, you know, they're never whatever. And I didn't think about the fact that I might be like some strange figment of America that comes in over there because I'm walking in. Hey, how y'all doing? You know, nobody's doing that in Japan. Nobody does that in Japan. And, you know, I try to pick up a few words, you know, this kind of stuff. And Kaylee finally says, just stop. Just say thank you. They do understand what thank you is because you're butchering it. Just quit. You're butchering it. But it's a whole different experience. And it was funny what she was talking about because she was, you know, she's a timid person and she's sort of self-conscious of herself, you know, that kind of thing. And that works. That works like a charm over there. But for me, you know, I'm wanting to speak. I'm wanting to shake hands with everybody and hug. People do not hug. Oh, there's no hugging. There is no hugging. And my son-in-law, Shige, he just has to put up with it because he knows when we get off the plane, he always picks us up. He knows. And I know he's cringing, but Carla's hugging him and I'm hugging him. And you know, and he is the sweetest guy. And, you know.
I'd like to meet him. I would really like to meet him.
Bob would love Japan. Yeah, it sounds like your place. Yeah. So the thing that I wonder about, Lamar, is you're one of those people that when you come into a room, it's big, extroverted energy. Do people shy away from you on the street when you're visiting your family in Japan?
I will say this. They don't know how to take me. But they're still polite about it. They're just very, very, very polite about it. And things are just so, it's just so different. And it is nothing like here. Everything is different. And they speak different. They have, when we went to the, it's big water park. And so we get, you know, so I'm out there and we're swimming and whatever. And I didn't realize this, but at the water park, you have to keep any tattoos you have covered. And I've got a tattoo on my back. And
you can't have tattoos visible at the water park.
Not at the water park. No, you have
to. I didn't know that.
Whoa.
Neither did I. So we've been there about 30 minutes and we're riding stuff and get the kids and whatever. And I don't know if Shige knew it or realized it or whatever. He didn't say anything. And Kaylee evidently, she forgot it or didn't know it or whatever, because she would have told me, because she's constantly trying to get me to not be too American while I'm over there. And so a group of guys came up, the little lifeguard guys, and it wasn't just one. It was like three of them. Three of them came up, and they're like, you know, they stopped me and they're trying to tell me something, and they're apologizing while they're trying to tell me, and I'm not understanding. And so Shige comes up, And he goes, oh, 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 because everything starts with, oh, 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 you know, whatever oh, God, response like you
in
get.
A, like in an episode of
I can't
Man.
Believe.
I'm dying. I'm in the fetal
I can't
position.
Believe you're saying that. Oh, my.
I can't believe
it. It is true.
But it's
it
true.
Is, it is very
it's
true. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any form of excitement, any form of surprise, it's like, oh, oh, it's just like that.
Oh
and so,
she goes,
oh, and so he's bowing to them and they're bowing to him and then they're all bowing to me. And I said, what's going on? And he said, Dad, he calls me Dad. He says, Dad, you've got this tattoo on your back and you can't have an uncovered tattoo here. You got to put a shirt on. And I'm like, okay, well, no problem. I mean, no problem. But it was just really weird for them because they had to come tell me this and they're afraid that Lamar. They're going to hurt my feelings or they're going to make me mad or whatever. It was.
Oh, my gosh, Lamar, you should be so flattered. They got together. They huddled. And they said, it will require many of you to address the painted American bear. Yeah. That was a compliment.
That's exactly right.
They showed you honor and respect.
You know why I think they do that? I think they probably do that, not because, like, I've seen your tattoo when you came to our house and everybody was in the pool. And it's not offensive at all. But we've all seen tattoos that are offensive, and they're probably saying, We can't just single out one. We have to just say no to all because of children or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I get. After that, I saw a lot of people that had on T-shirts. So evidently it's a deal. But yeah. It's a cool place, though. It's a cool, right. cool place.
Oh, very nice.
It's Bob and Sherry. Small Plates is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates, and the first plate is going to make Lamar very happy. If you're a regular listener, you'll know what I mean. Target is limiting the self-checkout to 10 items. It looks like cashiers will still have a job at Target. Target is making some changes. It's going down at the end of this week, by the way, to its self-checkout policy. The retailer announced it's capping the number of items shoppers can have at self-checkout, a move that has, quote, plenty of justification, unquote, according to their marketing professor. He says some people don't like self-checkout and will appreciate the new item limits. Target is attempting to speed up the process by setting the limit at 10 items. More
Who's enforcing it? Who's enforcing it? That's the question.
Well, that is true. That there has to be somebody around with that many lanes. More right. lanes that are staffed with employees will be opening up to help people with fuller carts. The express self-checkout lanes will hit most stores by the end of this week. I thought you would be happy about that. That sounds like more, you know, checkout people are going to keep their jobs.
Well, I mean, okay, you're only doing 10 things for free, but somebody's going to come with 14 items, and I want them to be thrown out of the line. I want them to trespass. They got to go.
The only reason they're doing this is because of the shoplifting, and 10 items is easier for them to manage and police. That's the only reason. But you know
See,
what?
See, that makes sense.
If I have 15 items, I'm going there. Do you know what?
Yeah, I know you
nobody's
are. I know you
nobody's
are.
Nobody's going to say anything
are.
To me because I like it.
God, I can't stand there.
Why are you going
Next.
There? You know
How
that's
are we
against
friends?
The rules.
How are we friends? How are we friends? I love you so much. How are we friends? My God. We can never travel together.
You know
I'll tell you that. We can't shop together and we can't travel together because of the bathroom and stuff like that.
I don't like being told what to do. It's that simple. I do not like it.
What?
You can't make me.
Hey, Bob.
This is a new side of you. Wow.
He's
no,
had
no.
enough of this all
is,
of this. He really
This
has.
Is a man that's never been married, Bob. He's never been married. Okay? He has no idea what it's like. He doesn't know.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. We're used to it. This is kind of interesting. A lot of classic rock bands are retiring, and many of them, they're retiring because they're having trouble walking on stage, and some of the members are gone. And one of them is ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra. Can we hear just a little? Yep, that's right. Jeff Lynne's ELO is getting ready for the band's final tour, the Over and Out Tour. two dozen cities in the United States, including Los Angeles. Here's the thing that jumped out at me. Jeff is the last surviving member of the group he co-founded. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is that really seeing the band? If there were six guys, now there's one.
He was the band. Let's be honest about that. He was the composer.
I'll give you that.
He was the arranger. Yeah. He was the singer. He really is the band. The rest, can you name me one other person that was in that band? No.
I can't. No, I can't. You're right. Next thing in show business here, a first look at Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan is out. And evidently it was a good casting call. The Wonka actor plays the legendary singer-songwriter in A Complete Unknown. Production is underway, and they say he is really nailing it. The film follows Dylan's start in the music business, moving from Minnesota to New York City. And Timothée looked the part in a weathered scarf, layering up with some gloves and a thick jacket, which is a shot on the cover of one of Dylan's early albums, and he's holding a guitar case. That's a tough one to pull off, but I think he's good enough to do that.
No, it's easy. He doesn't have to remember any lines. I just got to mumble a lot. You don't have to remember anything. Just mumble. That's all you got to do.
What side of the bed did you wake up on this
just
morning?
Just saying, he's a mumbler.
You're
he's
negative
mumbler.
toward Max, negative toward the shoppers at Target, and now this. And finally, the Yankees are giving away George Costanza bobbleheads. It's a first. A fictional New York Yankees employee is getting his own bobblehead. In Seinfeld, Costanza got fired right away. He was the traveling secretary. And on July 5th, the Bronx Bombers are giving away George Costanza bobbleheads to go along with Ruth Gehrig, DiMaggio,
cool.
And Manny.
That's
I think
cool.
It's very cool. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
A guy rolls up at Bucky's in Tennessee, and he rolls in there with a duck. He's got the duck in a stroller, okay? Now, he explains that he's got a duck in the store because it's his service duck. Really? It's your service,
service duck.
Now, what's not surprising is he's got a YouTube video that he posted on his channel called Seductive, which explains why he had a duck in the store. The channel has 2.7 million subscribers, and the video had 170 views in just a couple of days. Justin Wood brought his service pet, known as Wrinkle the Duck, into the store, and they shopped around. Well, Wrinkle remained inside a stroller for most of the visits. He received some positive attention from some shoppers who wanted to pet Wrinkle and ask her, and she got out, and they high-fived and stuff like that. So after they entered the store, they were approached by an employee who said, "Hey, nothing but service dogs are allowed in here." And he goes, "She's a service duck. I've got the paperwork to prove it." So they were allowed to continue on until a second employee said, "Pets are not allowed in here." He kept shopping until a third employee said, "Unfortunately, your animal can't be in here. There is no pets allowed in Bucky's." So as he made his purchase, he was informed by the employee that the cops are outside. So once he left the store, he was approached by an officer who told him, "They're requesting you to be banned from the store. And not Whoa. Just this store, every Bucky's location that he would ever go into, he is banned. He cannot go. He's charged with trespassing. If he's caught in another one, duck or no duck, he's out." In other words, Bucky says, "Get the duck out of here." He's gone. Now, he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. If nobody had approached him, his YouTube video wouldn't have been any good. But because he got some trouble and whatever, he did what he was supposed to do. That's what he did.
Right, right. Right.
Anyway, they don't play at Bucky's. They don't play. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
Talk back time. You can call us at 844-52-SHERI. That would be on the phone. Or you can grab the free Bob and Sherry app at Google Play or the Apple Store. You can listen to the show every single day. You can listen to all the podcasts. You can enter contests, and you can tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Lamar, Max, Doc, and the whole gang. This is Elizabeth from Winston-Salem again. I was listening to the show, and I was actually listening to yesterday's show, which is impressive because I'm a principal of a school and I have two children under the age of six. So the fact that I was, you know, relatively recent on your show is, I'm giving myself a gold star for that. Anyway, you were talking about things that we really hate. And I was going to say the thing that I really hate, because I am a bit of a snob, the thing that I really hate is when people say could care less when they really mean that they couldn't. They could not care less. I could not care less about this. But they say could care less. It drives me crazy. And it makes me want to grind my teeth. And then you shared about the grinding of your teeth bracelet that vibrates and wakes you up. And now that's the thing I hate. That you took my old hate and replaced it with a new hate. I've never even experienced this. But again, principal with two young children and busy life. And oh my gosh, something's going to wake me up. That's not my children or, you know, something else that's gone wrong in the middle of the night. No. So thank you for giving me that perspective. I do appreciate it. That was good for me to know that there could be something worse than when people say could care less. So thank you for giving me great perspective. Great show. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
I think about that expression myself, and growing up, I think it's a Northeastern thing because it just sounds like something that came out originally out of Brooklyn. I could care less. Hey, I could care less if you don't want me to park there. I understand it. I hear it, but it has been, it's just been a part of my life since I was a kid.
But if you say I could care less, what you're saying is I am capable of caring less.
Of caring less,
choosing
yeah.
to not care less. Yeah. When you say I could not care less, you're saying there's a zero possibility that I have anything left
exactly.
to care about this.
She's right.
I love. I said this the other day on the show. I just love when people have a random, trivial, but highly specific thing that they hate with their whole heart and soul. Love.
I know.
I think it tells you a lot about a person. Like, you know, you could say to someone, like, let's say it's a first date. Tell me some things you love. And what are they going to say? They're going to say rainbows and whiskers on kittens and puppies and, you know, my grandma, right? But you lean across that table at the Red Lobster and you go, I want you to tell me something extremely random and specific that you hate with your whole heart and soul. And now we've got Lamar talking about Miracle Whip. Now I'm having a good time on this first date.
Oh, yeah, because he's a Dukes fan. Yeah, I can see that. Mine would be I just hate loud, loud cars. I think.
See?
Hey,
look
hey,
how
bud.
Specific that is.
Hey, bud, you know, you're not in NASCAR. You were never in NASCAR. You're driving like you're in NASCAR, and you've made the muffler sound louder, so all of our lives are a little crummier. You know, you're an idiot. That's mine.
I hate styrofoam clamshell packaging for food.
Ooh, yeah.
I just feel like we could do better than that. I hate it for a couple of reasons, not just the environmental factor. I hate it because when the food is hot and it goes into the clamshell and you open the clamshell, moisture has condensed on the lid of the clamshell. If I wanted to sprinkle my French fries with room temperature water, I could
never
do that myself.
Close the top. If you got French fries, right? never close the top.
And then often the clamshell, it's only good for one open and close. Have you had that experience where you can't really, and now you got some crap and you're leaking in your car? I hate a styrofoam clamshell.
I hate styrofoam, period. Have you ever had, like, maybe somebody sent you a gift and it was fragile and the box comes and you look down at it and you go, oh my God. And so you take it outside in the garage to open it up and little tiny pieces of styrofoam go flying all over the place. And they're very
and they'll
lightweight.
They'll be there forever. Yeah.
Forever.
You'll never clean them up.
You will.
You will sell that house with tiny styrofoam balls still floating
exactly.
around.
Exactly. I know it.
Yeah. So the only thing that can kill it is fire. And then when it catches on fire, the fumes will kill you. Like, it's just the worst stuff ever.
It is.
So, yeah, if you have a really specific, trivial thing that you hate with a white-hot passion, We're your show. You can give us a call at 844-52-SHERRY or shoot us a talk back. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry say enough with the cats. It's time to celebrate dogs with the Love My Pup contest.
You're just a doggone diggity dog, on diggity dog.
Enter your pups on the contest tab at bobandsherry.com and you could win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. Real ingredients, freeze-dried raw, and dogs love it. Get up to 54% off your first order. Plus, free Tilly's Treasures.
Doggone diggity dog, on diggity dog.
Visit drmartyspets.com/Bob.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
There's still time to nominate a teacher that you know that's making a difference. To win a vacation this summer from Visit Florida, nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com and they could win a stay at Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach.
Call us at 844-52-SHERI or you can grab the free Bob and Sherry app. And I do believe we have another one from Steve.
Hi, Bob and Sherry. This is James from Central Wisconsin.
Oh, James.
And I've been listening to you guys while I'm off from work since I can't listen to you guys at work anymore because I have a new job. And I'm catching up on all the podcasts, and I was listening to a show about how guys don't like it when their significant other takes their food, and this happened to me a few times where I would go through the drive-thru with my significant other and order stuff, and I would ask her, would you like anything? And she would say no, and when I get the food, she would be asking, hey, can I have a bite? Can I have a bite? I'm hungry now. And we would kind of have like a little, not fight, but kind of a fight type of thing. It's like that too. So
yep.
Just wanted to chime in on that. So love the show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
I understand what he's saying. And I think the reason, I've studied this, and I think the reason is, in a woman's head, if she doesn't order, she's on some sort of a diet, but eating her significant other's food has no calories.
Max really struggles with this.
Because I ordered it. That's what I ordered. And I thought, well, this is what I want. And if right. I don't, if I have any reticence to share, it makes me look like, you know, selfish. Am I?
I know what you mean.
I mean,
no, you're not. I feel the same way. And let's take it up. And this is what my wife does to get her away with this. We'll be at a restaurant, right? And I'll order, I don't know, cod or something like that. And she orders like a steak or something. And I'm looking at the cod and I'm starting, she goes, let me try some of that. Would you? And then she'll say, would you like to have a bite of the steak? It's really good. I said, no, I really don't want the steak. I just want the cod. And then she looks at me. She says, well, don't you want to try something to know how other things taste at a restaurant? I don't. I really don't. I've been thinking about.
I agree.
I shouldn't have used cod. I should have used shrimp or something. I've been thinking about this shrimp, you know, since I saw it on the menu. And that's what I want. I don't want steak. I don't like steak. But the idea that I'm not adventurous because I won't share everything.
Well, it's not like you've never had a steak before. So, I mean, you know
exactly
what it tastes like. So, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
When Carla and I started dating, it was pretty early on. We're going down the road. We're having to get somewhere pretty quick. And so we got to eat going down the road. So she likes Arby's. So as we pull in, I see Arby's and it's got this big sign, the ultimate BLT. That's pretty strong. It's pretty strong words.
That's a big statement.
You're saying you have the ultimate. Don't go anywhere else. You have the ultimate BLT. So we're having this conversation, and Carla likes a BLT. I said, well, I'm getting the ultimate BLT because that's a bold statement, and I'm calling them on it. And so we pull up, and I said, I'm going to have that ultimate BLT. Is it everything that you say it is? He said, yes, sir, it is. It's everything we say it is. And I said, that's what I want. I said, Carla, you want one of those? She goes, no, give me the regular roast beef. I said, you sure? She goes, yeah. Okay. So she gets a regular roast beef. He tries to palm off some curly fries, which are of the devil. I don't know who invented them, Satan himself. The apple wasn't enough. He went with curly fries. But anyway, so we start down the road, and I've got my sandwich, and I take a big bite out of it, and I said, man, they're right now. I'm not saying it's the ultimate, but it's a really good BLT. It's probably the best BLT I could get in the car through a drive-thru at this exit for sure. So yeah. I'm happy with that. She goes, well, let me try it. What? She said, let me try. I said, yeah. Have you not got a roast beef sandwich? Well, yeah, but I wanted to. We discussed the ultimate BLT. And I said, I love you. I do. It's awesome. It's awesome here. And down the road, if we see another Arby's, I'll whip in there and we'll get you an ultimate BLT. I said, but this is my ultimate BLT. And I said, I'm not interested in sharing. She said, I can't believe you're saying that. I said, believe it. Enjoy that horsey sauce on that roast beef sandwich.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, and so yeah. We get about 20 miles down, and I saw a sign that said Arby's. I said, hey, you want me to pull over? And she goes, I wouldn't eat one if you paid me. Okay, that's fine. I'm not doing it.
The only answer, and you're throwing money away, but the only answer is order double of what you're having and let her order what she wants.
Exactly.
And then maybe you could eat it for dinner later or something.
I wouldn't wait that long. I'd go and eat it 3 mile marks down the road, but I mean, okay.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
I'm just going to own it right up front. I do not have a healthy way of dealing with anger. I'm slow to anger, but once I get there, I have a difficult time expressing and releasing it, so I swallow it until it makes me sick, which I'm here to tell you is a very bad way to go. So when I stumbled across this in my newsfeed, I was like, oh, I have to tell everybody about this. So it turns out when you're angry, and all of us, anger is a human emotion. All of us feel anger. You're allowed to be angry. Part of the reason that I have such an unhealthy relationship with anger is because from the very earliest part of my life, I was not allowed to be angry. I was, you know, that is not ladylike. And this is coming from my parents who, as you know, were not exactly the etiquette masters. You know, when your meth cook daddy is telling you what's ladylike, that's kind of challenging. Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was never allowed to express my anger. And for a lot of women, when you're in a relationship, your anger is, you know, you get judged for it and oh, you're crazy, you know, that kind of thing. So I've spent my mm-hmm. life swallowing my anger and instead beaming my rage at you through my large grouper like eyes. So what should you do when you're angry? Venting about what has made you angry feels really good in the moment. But not only is it ineffective at reducing your anger, it actually fuels it. And then you're angrier and angrier and angrier. And now you feel helpless and out of control and you want to break things and kick things and end quit jobs and end relationships and crash your car into trees. Venting anger is the worst way of dealing with anger. Here's what you're supposed to do. Deep breathing, mindfulness, counting to 10, yoga, meditation, going for a walk, sticking your head in the shower. Almost anything is better than venting it. Anything you do when you're feeling stressed to deal with your stress, that's what you should do when you're angry. Anything that increases your agitation, including jogging, not only has no effect on your anger, it makes it worse. Jogging makes anger worse. Ohio State University, by the way, in case you're wondering which, you know, goofy place I found this, jogging makes anger worse. So if you're mad and you head out for a jog, you're going to be so much more mad by the time you get back home.
How about kicking a trash can down a hallway in an office? How
terrible.
About that? Just drop.
The worst.
Just drop.
The worst.
I feel badly about that. Slapping the walls out of frustration publicly.
Bad. This is what has come out of this epic research at Ohio State University. We need to bust the myth that if you're angry, you should blow off steam. That whole theory of expressing anger as a way of coping with it needs to be debunked. People who are blowing off steam, venting their rage, are just making themselves more angry and are flooding their systems with adrenaline and cortisol, whether that is jogging, hitting a punching bag, going for a bike ride. It's all bad. What we should be doing instead is taking many, many, many deep breaths. What do you think?
I could do that now, but when I was younger, I could not do that. And I'm thinking of this one specific moment. This is before you and I got together, and radio station said, like you to host the morning show, it's going to be, and they described the format, and it sounded like something that I could do. I was on the air for about 2 weeks, and they changed the format to something very dreary and slow and not me at all. And the ratings, the small ratings they had, tanked even worse. I was so angry at being conned. I drop-kicked a metal basket, waste paper basket down the hall and slapped the side of the wall where there was a closet. I was so angry. But I'll tell you something. The idea, after they told me that, of going outside by the dumpster where people smoke and sitting there and being one with the universe, quietly saying over and over something to calm myself down, that wouldn't have worked.
I don't know how, now I do,
but during that period, because I was just so worried about, you know, paying for my family and all of that, that would not have worked for me.
Well, let me say this, because we're out of time. Jogging is the worst thing when you're angry, but playing a game, like going outside and shooting hoops with the kids or pickleball or whatever, any kind of playful exercise is awesome. But going for a run is just going to turn you into Patrick Bateman. And if you know who that is, you know you don't want none of that. All right, we're going to post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Don't vent, deep breaths. It's Bob and Sherry.
Happy hour tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Can we all agree, if we have one near us, that we feel that when it comes to fast food, Chick-fil-A does a pretty good job? Would you agree with that?
The best job.
I'm not saying...
Nobody does a better job.
It's pretty amazing. Chick-fil-A is going outside of the chicken box. They are launching a spinoff pizza restaurant, and it begins this week. The spinoff is called Little Blue Menu, and the name comes from the late Chick-fil-A founder, S. Truett Cappy, who used blue menus at his first ever restaurant, which was called the Dwarf House. I don't think you could get away with that today. Little Blue Menu serves classic Chick-fil-A items, as well as burgers, onion rings, Brussels sprouts, cinnamon rolls, chicken wings, and they're going to start this week with five new pizza and calzone-inspired items. Stuart Tracy, who is their lead developer for the company, says, and I quote, "We noticed our customers getting creative with Chick-fil-A ingredients on pizzas at home, so we decided to jump on board!" Exclamation point. In addition to the spinoff restaurant, Chick-fil-A is opening its first ever mobile pickup location in New York City. The store won't offer dine-in service or seating, but you can place on an app and you can take it home with you. That's going to be interesting. They'll make very many mistakes. What do you think?
My money's on them. And I've eaten at that restaurant. They have tablecloths and everything. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always suspicious of a fast food restaurant that bites off a big menu. Like, we have calzones. We have Brussels sprouts. We have chicken nuggets. We have cinnamon rolls. I'm always a little suspicious of that. But
I am too. I am too. But their record is pretty good. But you're right. The menu at Chick-fil-A is very condensed. There are not that many choices, and they do it well. So we're going to see and see if they start spreading. It's called Little Blue Menu, Chick-fil-A. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
You got a tattoo on your chest, and he didn't notice?
Yeah, for almost a week. Was he away?
No.
Was he walking the Appalachian Trail?
He might as well have been, but no, he was out in the garage working most of the time.
So what is the tattoo of, and exactly where it is on your chest?
Well, it's actually right above my left boob, but it's just my name, his name, and my son's name done in like old Celtic rune script. It's really pretty, actually.
Nice. How do you miss that? I mean, that's
you'll have to ask him that, sweetie. I have no clue.
That's a lot of inkscaping on the boob acreage. I mean, how do you miss that?
Well, if you were not wearing something that was low cut.
It's her husband. Maybe, he sees her coming out of the shower.
Maybe he doesn't see her coming out of the shower, and maybe they turn the lights off you know when.
No, I intentionally wore a tank top for like 2 days at the house just trying to get him to pay attention, but nah.
1 week he didn't notice you had a tattoo on your chest.
That's right. But damned if he couldn't tell you if the gasket was broken on something.
Do you think that he did notice and he was being all passive-aggressive because you didn't get his permission beforehand?
Oh, hell no. He knows there ain't no P word in this relationship. Nobody gives nobody permission.
Wow.
I do what I want to.
So there you're my hero, Carol. You're what I want to be when I grow up. So there
you
are.
The P word in a relationship is a totally different word with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you've had enough of that already, I think.
Thank you. I think.
So you're walking around in the tank top, you know, and nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my friends often say that, you know, if I'm not, you know, if you're not made of metal or if you're not a machine, he ain't going to really notice you anyway.
So their husbands are the same way?
Well, I've got one friend whose husband is the same way, yeah, but...
So tell us the big
After
reveal.
After almost 20 years, you learn to work around each other when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, you still love him, though, right? I mean, he's a hard-working guy.
Tell us the big reveal, the big moment when he realized what was up.
Oh, it was at IHOP when I finally yanked down my top and showed him and said, damn it, look.
Wow. Holy moly.
Subtle.
There's a stack.
Yank down your top at IHOP. And then what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, then what happened?
Okay, he just says, when the fuck did you get there? I was like, I ain't going to tell you if you didn't notice.
I yanked on my top at IHOP would be a great Kelly Clarkson song, wouldn't it? Or a lyric, anyway.
And so, how long before you forgave him? And does he like the tattoo?
No, he doesn't like any tattoos. He doesn't think girls should get tattoos.
Wow, that's an unusual position.
Tell him to join me in the Island of Wight.
Well, no, he's the same way. He don't have no tattoos either.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. No, I actually had two of them, though, when we got together. So I'm like, imagine that. You really didn't think I was going to get more? Please, whatever.
Yeah, because there's no P in this relationship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. So what are the other tattoos, Carol?
Well, some of them you'll probably kind of take a notice to, but the one on my arm is a black heart with wings, and then I got one on my leg. You remember the Styx album, Paradise Theater?
Uh-huh.
The inside folder where it had the angels holding the banner saying Paradise.
Yeah. You got that on your thigh?
On my leg, yeah.
Hey, I got another place you could have put it.
At least you didn't get Mr. Roboto. That
yeah,
would have been hard for us
bad.
To endorse.
Yeah, that would have been really
bad. And so you had tattoos when he met you,
yeah.
Right? And did he express his disapproval? And I know you didn't give a damn. That's clear, right?
No, he didn't express no disapproval. It wasn't until much later that he finally was like, you know, girls really shouldn't have tattoos.
But he's all man, though, and you love him, and he's hardworking, and if anything is broken, he can fix it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Think how horrible it would be with me, because I feel the same way he does, but I can't fix anything.
Well, no, but you hold value in other areas.
Well, thank you very much.
What are some
Aren't you nice?
I'm just curious, because it would be good for Bob's self-esteem.
No, I'm just
What are some
it
of
right
the
there?
Areas
we
he holds value in?
Specifically.
Don't you want to know?
He's got a good sense of humor.
Thank you, Carol. Mm-hmm. Thank
and
you
as,
very much.
And as much wine as he drinks, he'd be a good drinking buddy of mine. Hell, half my friends say I should have married Captain Morgan.
Carol, I think we could have left it at one, but thank you very much.
You know, it was...
She's funny. Isn't she funny?
It was the compliment that giveth and taketh.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate. Happy Hour, 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Tonight, it's Bob and Sherry.
Love My Pup is sponsored by Dr. Marty's Pet Food. Just upload a picture of your dog on the contest page at bobandsherry.com. We're giving away $100, $150, and $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. And you can visit drmartypets.com/bob to get up to 54% off your first order, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures. I am constantly bombarded with phone calls and texts for someone named Pamela Holifield. And I answer these texts by saying, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. They always go like this. Hi, Pamela. We're looking to buy your property on. And by the way, if you're listening, Pamela Holifield, you have quite the real estate portfolio, girl. You go queen. Pamela, we're looking to buy your property on Harris Boulevard. Pamela, we're looking to buy your property on Delilah Lane. Pamela, we're looking to buy your property on Pennywood Court. And I'm like, first of all, Pamela's clearly a landlord and ain't selling any of it, but whatever. So I'm always super polite. You have the wrong number. And they always come back with the same thing. They say, oh, sorry about that. Well, do you have any property you'd like to sell? And I'm so tempted to go, no, but since a complete rando has texted me, I've decided to let go of the family land, right? And I'm super polite. I block the numbers after I deal with these people, but it doesn't matter. I count it one day. A year and a half ago, I had like 7,000 blocked numbers in my phone. It's got to be double that now, right? So today we have a new strategy. Hi, Pamela. I'm Shirley. Are you looking to get rid of your lot on Delilah Lane? We buy as is. No need to clear it or have a survey. So I replied, wrong number. And Shirley said, oh, I'm sorry. Hey, do you happen to know Pamela Holifield or any of the owners on Delilah Lane? Yeah, I live in a city with just a tick under 1 million people in it. So the chances that I know somebody named Pamela or the people that live on Delilah Lane, those seem really super high. So then I said, no, I don't know Pamela. There's about 1 million people in this town. Please stop harassing me. How do I get off this list? They never respond to that. So I decided, let me investigate a couple of things. How does a cell phone number get assigned? Here we go. When a customer signs up for service, mobile phone companies assign a number from a pool of available numbers. Generally, these numbers are assigned at random. Shirley, I know that the universe is filled with magic and coincidences, but what are, I should have texted back, no, or she's in bed next to me. Like, what kind of craziness is this? And I would not be so irate about it, but you guys, it's all day and all night, every day. And the way that, like, the job that I have, I can't answer my phone for a big chunk of my day. Like, for 25 or more percent of the workday, my phone is on silent. They are choking my voicemail out. I'm getting constant texts about Pamela Holifield's property. And, girl, if you're listening to this, I beg you, either sell that land or burn it down, because these people are driving me so crazy. I went looking for Pamela Holifield on Facebook, and I thought it was kind of an unusual name. I don't really know that many people named Pamela, do you? It seems like a really sassy, sexy name for a while, and it's one of those names that's just kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. There are so many Pamela Holifields on Facebook. And if Pamela Holifield is listening right now and is thinking to herself, oh my God, what a violation of my privacy. Back at you, sis. Back at you. So I'm super tempted. It's a good thing I don't have any free time, because I would do the most goofy, random, foolish things in my free time, including driving to these addresses and checking them out to see what is so freaking amazing about this address on Delilah Lane that everybody and their brother is trying to buy the property. I don't know. Like, this doesn't happen to my husband. I have done, it's not scientific, but I've done a survey of people I know, and they're not having this. So, and I've had this phone number. Max, how long would you say I've had this phone number for?
Oh, good heavens. Almost as long as I've known you.
Yeah. So what are the odds that somehow 15, 20 years ago, Pamela Holifield had this phone number. I'm exhausted with it. And the do not call list is a filthy lie from
that's
the United States government.
Made up. God, yeah. It's another bull. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
The United States government and the Federal Trade Commission, I'm calling you out because you're lying liars who lie. The do not call list is a lie. Asking people to not call you is a lie. Blocking phone numbers makes no difference. It's like we're just trapped in this matrix of hell and none of us can escape.
It's like on your email, when you get some of these emails that you have no use for, at the bottom it says, if you want us to stop this email, click here. That don't do nothing but put your foot on the gas. It don't do nothing. They
oh my
take
God.
You off of a list. Once you're on the list, baby, you ain't getting off the list.
The word unsubscribe is Latin for ride me like a mule, daddy, because you cannot get off any of those lists. Oh, I'm just out of my mind right now. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
This is fascinating, and it'll be interesting to see if it really takes off in a big, big way. So I'm reading this article about the evolving American dream. And, you know, what the American dream used to be was, well, the American dream used to require a little something we called the middle class back in the day, where, you know, people could have like a job. They didn't have to be the CEO of a rocket company, you know, or a movie star to be able to afford a house and a decent car and send their kids to school, right? So the American dream is evolving and it's changing. And it's become extremely expensive for people to just rent, much less buy a house, and student loan debt for so many of us. And it's just been a little bit of a tough time. But I know I'm super glad that Beatrice Foods and ConAgra are doing okay, because I worry about those folks. I do. I worry that their CEO is not getting a $23 million bonus this quarter, and I find that untenable. So I'm reading about the new American dream, and here's one of the things that is shaping up as a new trend. Buying a house, but not with a spouse or a romantic partner or a fiance. Pitching in with a group of friends and buying a house. What do you think about that? Do you see that as something that could really take off and go big?
I don't know.
I mean, would you purchase, and also siblings, like there's a trend now of siblings, grown adult siblings, throwing in and buying a house together. So what do you think? So here, let me do the breakdown. When surveyed, 61% of Americans said, yeah, I would definitely buy a house with a friend. 57% said, I'll buy a house with my brother or sister. 49% said, I'm buying a house with one or both of my parents. And then 27%, this is low, said extended family. Because, you know, we've all got that cousin, and I'm not sure I want to be in a mortgage with that cousin. So what do you think? And Gen Z and millennials, these are the people responding to this in a big way and saying, yeah, I mean, if I don't buy a house with my friend or my brother, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to buy a house. So is that something you would consider, or would that feel just like really risky and crazy to you?
With a brother or a sister, I don't think I would be concerned. If I was Max okay. and his sister, I'd be concerned.
Oh, yeah. Well, if Max bought a house with his sister, it better not have an unfinished basement. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I'm worried.
A crawl space.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Like, you're saying, okay, I would buy a house with my sibling, but I'm not sure if I'd buy a house with my friend. And yet, look at how many people buy a house with a romantic partner that they're not even married to. So, what do you think? Your BFFF or somebody that, you know, you're crazy in love with right now?
It's somebody that you're crazy in love with, because, you know, all bets are off the table when you're wound up in that insanity.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I could say, all right, like me and Max, we're good friends. And we could buy a house. And when you put the paperwork down, I mean, you can do enough because you're both going in with calm and, you know, whatever. You can put into the paperwork all the details that would protect you both in any given situation. And once that's in,
yeah, you know, I think you'd have to do that.
Yeah. You got to make all those decisions, because if you don't get all that down when everything's good, when it hits the fan, it's not the same. You're not going to, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, look, Lamar could have like a complete mental breakdown that's unanticipated, and then where would I be?
Yeah.
Well, right. I was going to say, like, I think you two could buy a house together and could actually live together pretty peacefully. And Max, you would never have to worry about Lamar cheating on you with Doc. You know, he's not going to go get a vacation house with Doc on the side. He's not. He is going to be loyal and true to you.
But just to be safe, we're not letting Doc live in the extra house on the back of the property.
No.
We see what happened. You know, it's not a good thing sometimes.
Doc is going, how did I get dragged into this?
That's what happens. Doc's when like, you're quiet. When you're quiet, you're
Doc's like, I will live in the luggage compartment of a Greyhound bus before I buy a house with either one of you. Get my name out your mouth. It's interesting, and it's going to be fun to see, fascinating, I think, to see if this is a thing that happens in real estate. Because if you can't afford a house any other way, maybe this is how people afford a house. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, live tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
A new Pirates of the Caribbean film has not been released, and thank goodness it has not been released since 2017. Now, let me give you the Rotten Tomatoes scores. The very first one, The Black Pearl, was 88%. Dead Man's Chest, the second one, was 53%. At World's End was 44%. On Stranger Tide was 33%. And Dead Men Tell No Tales was 30%. Like I've always said, the first one was great, and then it was downhill the rest of the way. And in the intervening years, there have been rumblings, oh God, I call them threats, that there would be another Pirates of the Caribbean made. And in 2020, they talked about making one with Margot Robbie, and she was going to be the star, but that never happened. Now, everybody that loved them all, has always wondered, is it possible that Captain Jack Sparrow will come back? Will Johnny Depp do it again? But between his personal troubles of the drinking and being late while making Dead Men Tells No Tales, and then his highly publicized legal trial with his former partner, Amber Heard, a return doesn't look likely, not to mention Depp has stated that he will never return as Captain Jack. I hope he don't. Please make a promise. But despite all of this, there may be one more Captain Jack appearance yet. Disney is allegedly considering bringing Depp back for the new Pirates movie. He won't be the star, but he will be in it, and it'll just be a supporting role. The chances of him appearing in another Pirates of the Caribbean, though, surely to goodness, they are slim to none. And here's what he said. I don't feel boycotted by Hollywood because I don't think about Hollywood. I don't have much further need for Hollywood myself. Trust me, Johnny, I don't personally think anybody has a need for another Jack Sparrow. We're done with that. I don't want to just quit talking about it. I mean, he was horrible in that. God. Put that to rest.
Yeah, don't you feel like they've gone to the bottom of that ocean enough?
Yes.
I'm all for giving actors jobs, but let's not go back one more time to the Pirates of the Caribbean unless they're going to time travel and swarm a Carnival cruise ship, because that could be hilarious. I want you to picture it. We got a bunch of ladies in like brightly colored capri pants downing pina coladas, and here come the pirates. The pirates are confused. The carnival passengers are confused. The bathrooms stop working. Boom! We got a summer blockbuster, Lamar.
Good habit. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.